The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, SiriusXM channel 158. Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland.
Yeah.
Producer number nine. So much more than a producer. Kelly, you're on vacation next week?
Vacation next week? I'll tell you, though, my week's already getting screwed up right now. I'm just thinking this is like having Bill Krakenberger in on a Monday or a Tuesday or something. We got Chris Felica coming on next. Like, what is this, Friday? Like, this is Friday?
Chris Felica standing by. Will Hill will join us later. Paul Spohr. Not to be outdone. I love
that.
I love that phrase. Not to be outdone.
Only one for Will today. Only one.
Only one. We got two for Chris coming up.
Mm-hmm.
We get tweets speeding the book, Jason H11. Of course, New York only offers make the cut bets, not miss the cut.
Oh, yeah, God. You're also going to find a lot of shops that are not going to let you parlay.
Yeah. Jesse Welch, I wonder what a Haaland, Mbappe, Messi all score a goal parlay would have paid yesterday. What tournament we have here on our home soil? Well, I don't know the answer to that offhand, but I'll tell you what I do know the answer to from Jamie Leva. He said he took a long shot on the Stars to each score two goals. Have a fantastic day, gentlemen. You too. He had those very three, Mbappe, Messi, and Haaland, each to score over 1.5 goals, as far as I can tell on this. It was just those three, and it paid 68 plus to one. Wow.
Hmm.
That's the thing. What also, as long as what we've learned very quickly here in the World Cup, people randomly are hitting the most awesome, ridiculous bets.
What a fun bet that is.
Don't
too,
try
right?
these at home.
You're just betting the Stars to score goals. It's great.
And to have that build all day long.
Yeah.
Billy Charlebois, in regards to offshore books and betting bad lines, one day I noticed three major mistakes on first inning lines. I hammered all three. I went 2-1. They voided the two I won and not the one I lost. Good luck with customer service. Lesson learned. Yeah. That's the thing with non-regulation.
That's an offshore one, yep.
Chris Heath, over the years, I've had anywhere from a six-pack to nine golfers that I back for majors like this, but golf hasn't been too good for me. Two bullets this week in Hatton and Reed. He's on the Patrick Reed train as well. Patrick Kelly, you should listen to the clubbing at 1.5 speed or 2x speed. More streamer video game than tropical drink in the clubhouse. Oh, yeah, we should do that next time. So can we speed that up next time?
Probably.
No. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the Bear. He works at Fox Sports. You may know him as Chris Felica. You can follow him on Twitter at Chris Felica, F-A-L-L-I-C-A. He joins us now not only to talk World Cup, but also U.S. Open. Christopher, good morning. Is there anything better than the U.S. Open and the World Cup for you? This must be nirvana.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's great. It's terrific. Don't forget about the NBA draft next week. We're not going to lose a single wager when it comes to the NBA draft. I'm so good at that.
What are you going
to
go 0-0 in that? 0-0? Is that what your record's going to be?
Or
you
gonna... 0-0 and whatever. Yeah, right now I'm very proud of myself. I have zero NBA draft bets, but we all know that's going to change.
Yeah.
By now.
Yeah, we got what is it now? Exactly 6 days mm-hmm. from the NBA draft first round.
Yay.
I'm right with you. No bet so far, but that will end. All right, today, let's start with today in the World Cup quadruple header, beginning with Portugal and the Democratic Republic of Congo. How do you go on this one?
Well, this is kind of the internet joke of the day going around now. Christian Ronaldo isn't going to pass once. He's going to take a million shots just because of the three stars yesterday scoring twice. But this is Portugal to win 2-0. They're going to have all the ball. The midfield is so, so good. Maybe Ronaldo does score a goal. I bet Portugal to win 2-0 minus 115. I don't know what it is right now. Again, I write these things up like a day ahead of time, and I have not checked what the price is right now. But Portugal will win this. It feels pretty straightforward. Win 2-0 is my play here.
All right. England and Croatia follows that. You have a couple bets in this one.
Yeah, much like I had written up that I thought Spain were going to kind of be a little bit workmanlike and France would come out and struggle a little bit with Senegal early on. And I got wins and fortune in both of those. Read that handicapper. I think this is going to be a similar thing. Croatia is a very grizzled veteran team. This is going to be like their last major or probably the last tournament, I should say, together. I put first half draw plus 125 and under 2.5. Minus 144. Well, there you go. 130 There we go there. Better price. We have seen, what, just the 1-0 draw in the tournament so far, the Spain Cape Verde one. Thomas Tuchel, I can see this being a bit of a bog. Slow start, and then maybe being able to get one in the second half, win 1-0, something like that. But, yeah, this is going to be a very deliberate, boring, defensive-minded game. We saw England in Euros a couple of years ago, granted with a different manager. Their matches were brutal to watch, and I see no reason they should be different with Thomas Tuchel. So first half draw and under 2.5 for the match.
First half draw, under 2.5 for the match, Croatia and New England. Before we move on to the second part of the day, in your many soccer travels, England sort of triggers this in my brain. In your many soccer travels, which, in your opinion, is the nation whose fans have the most non-commensurate excitement about their team than actual talent? Like, who's the most delusional fan base, in your opinion?
Probably England, just because it's kind of like the old, like, Notre Dame fan, or the old, like they haven't won anything in forever, but you kind of get, it's like generational. It's like, you root for England, and they haven't won anything in 60 years, and they still get valued and treated as a favorite. And I think the fans every year think that they have the talent. And what people don't realize, I think, about the Prem, I shouldn't say everyone, but most of the players from the Prem come from other countries. So it's not like with England, when it comes to international competitions, whether it's Euros or the World Cup, it's not like you're taking an all-star team of the English Premier League. These players are going to play for their home nations.
So sort of like Knicks fans. Oh, wait, I'm being told the Knicks have just won the...
Well, there we go. There's being a good told, parallel.
That's right. Being told the NBA championship has happened.
That it all ends.
And the Knicks have won it.
Who won game 6 last night, by the way? Spurs didn't blow that 30-point lead, right?
Cavaliers are still playing the Eastern Conference Analytics title. They're still playing that.
Bobby Gettys and I are working on a best of 13 bet still, okay? So, yeah, it's
perfect.
All right. We're still rolling.
That's right. How many games would it have taken the Spurs to hold leads? Would it have been a best of 11, a best of 13? What would it have been? Okay, let's go to the second half of today, beginning with Ghana and Panama.
Yeah, I have to write up a little bet for the With Fox website every day. This match, who the hell knows? I've been fortunate so far in the couple of matches where I really had no idea. Like, it was like, you know what? Keep it simple. Go with an anytime goal contribution. So that's what I did here. Antoine Semenyo, at least one goal or assist plus 150. Panama is one of the poorer CONCACAF teams to get in. There should be a goal here. So best player, the Paul Carr, take the better team to win. Take the best player on the pitch to either score or have an assist.
All right. That definitely sounded...
Please forgot about it.
That sounded like I must write a blurb for FoxSports.com. I don't Correct. Really feel this one, Bet. Okay. All right.
Correct. But yeah, if I had to do something, this would be it.
Uzbekistan and Colombia. The nightcap.
This feels like target practice for Colombia. A game being played in Mexico. They'll have a massive crowd advantage here. Colombia over 14.5 shots, minus 135. Colombia first half, minus 120. The Colombia is a dark horse type of team. It feels like their work rate, especially early on, they will get an early goal. They'll take a lead into halftime and continue firing away with the talented players that they have, like Luis Diaz and Casiano.
All right, let's move in tomorrow. Why not? We won't have you here tomorrow. So
why not?
Let's talk about tomorrow.
What's this?
Czechia takes on South Africa. Where are you going there?
This is another one where it's like South Africa were terrible. I mean, they were really, really bad against Mexico in the opener. And then Czechia had the 1-0 lead against South Korea. And then the manager oddly took off the best goal scorer, Patrick Schick, and the most creative player, Pavel Schultz. And, of course, South Korea scored twice and wound up winning. The loser is eliminated here. I do expect Czechia to win, and I took Schultz to anytime goal or assist plus 175 because I don't think they will make the mistake of subbing him off the way they did in match one, and they're also facing a much weaker side in South Africa that'll probably be open for business. Christmas.
Yeah, once again, today, the final day of the game ones of the group stage. Tomorrow, the first day of the game twos of the group stage. Bosnia and Switzerland follows that one tomorrow.
I mean, Switzerland did everything but finish in the first game against Qatar, literally and figuratively, had a massive shot advantage, couldn't hold the 1-0 lead. If they do that again, it'll even out. Bosnia were pretty meh. Canada weren't very good for the longest time in that opener. Bosnia were kind of meh as well. Mbolo, Ndoye, Switzerland, as long as they continue to do what they did in that first match, and they'll get lucky. So I played Switzerland to win 2-0 and Switzerland over 14.5 shots were the two ways I looked at this. They'll be desperate.
Canada and Qatar, two teams that come off ties in the first game of their group stage. Qatar in dramatic fashion in the 94th minute. Which way are you going here?
Canada went to nil. Canada over 16.5 shots. I would expect Jesse March to start Kyle Larin in the 11. They were a completely different team when he came on. He got the goal to get them the point. Qatar were terrible against Switzerland. They were so lucky to get the point. I don't know how much talent they have. They'll probably play a similar game. Canada to win 2-0. Canada over 16.5 shots. This feels like a pretty straightforward Canada win.
Okay. We'll come back with Chris. One more game to get to tomorrow. Korea and Mexico in a match for the group, in a match that means a whole bunch to a certain apartment in San Francisco, by the way. I want to point that out as well. Oh, big, big doings tomorrow night. And then his thoughts on the U.S. Open at Shinnecock Hills next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Unmatched transparency with records updated daily, AI betting analysis, and real-time global betting information. It's the sharp place. Alerts directly from the pros as well. They offer that. Scan the QR code for all the information you need at sharpplays.com. We get tweets beating the book. KJ at Dr. Actor KJ. Wow, he says Coco just choked away a -1200 after a 6-1 first set win. Yeah, this is one of those where the numbers pointed to Bedosa, and I just didn't have the onions. But Paula Bedosa beats Coco Gauff right at this very moment, coming back from one set down, as KJ just pointed out. This is in Berlin, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Looks beautiful there. Yeah, maybe we'll.
I'm waiting for the baseline to see the. You know, the soccer stadiums really need that. That's my biggest criticism so far of the World Cup. Just kind of like the NCAA tournament where we've got the city, you know, that they're playing in right there.
Oh, yeah.
That would be nice to have for the World Cup because we're in three different countries, right? Like, it's in cool different cities around the United States.
Tennis does a good job of that. Just put it down there. This is from Tronsky, who says, "Hey, Gilly, I saw all those promos for Messi goals. I hope the books got taken to the bank yesterday, but I'm also annoyed that novice bettors killed it. Is this a case of new bettors scoring now, but we'll give it back over time?" Very well could happen, Tronsky. Very well could happen. Yeah, that was a Chalk McChalkerson star players goal fest yesterday. Absolutely.
Can we all just be happy for each other? Don't worry, Tronsky. Yeah, they'll probably give it back.
Michelin Man Boy. If the season ended today, the Washington Nationals would be in the playoffs. Yet, he said DraftKings still has them at 7-1 to make the postseason. Do Paul Spohr and Will Hill think there's any value in that number? Well, we'll ask them coming up later on the show. Did you see, this is random because of something the Tronsky tweet triggered this for me. Have you seen the Nike commercial after the Knicks won the championship, the Nike commercials with the kids sprinting through the streets of New York City to Billy Joel's New York State of Mind?
I have not.
Oh, it's so great, that commercial. And then he sprints, he comes to a dead stop. And what's the tagline from that commercial where it says, I think, what was it? Never slept, always dreaming, I believe is the tagline at the end. It chills. So great. And again, I had a Spurs ticket, but even for Knicks fans, what a great commercial that was. And Billy Joel doesn't often allow his music for commercial licensing like that. So that was pretty, I don't know if anybody else saw that, but that's...
Special moment for the city.
I sent it to...
Way to take advantage, Nike.
I sent it to Deborah Song Fashion Styles, and she goes, yeah, I don't think it appeals to women, though. She's like, I think a dude came up with that commercial, because only dudes, it resonates. And she might be right about that. I have no idea. Chris, have you seen that? Chris Felica joined us now for Fox Sports.
Yes, I have seen it. It's a great commercial.
Yeah.
Of course, Deborah Song Fashion Styles would tell... You know, it's basketball. It's sports.
Yeah.
I mean, you're shooting probably for a male demographic there.
Yeah, you are. But I was like,
we love Deborah Song anyway. We still love her.
She didn't like it.
She might be a little offbeat.
She didn't like that one. All right, last soccer one. Korea, Mexico, both coming off wins in their group. The winner of this, I believe, wins the group. Right? They clinch it.
Yeah.
So there's that. Now, if you lose, and especially with 8 third place teams getting through, it's not the end of the world here, but what do you have?
No, especially being that you're playing one of the weak. South Korea will wind up playing South Africa, so they'll get a point at least out of that. I'm kind of, and you know how you said before in the previous segment about, this feels like, I have to write a blurb and give a pick on this, even though I really don't want to. That's what this game is. It feels a little kickballish. While Mexico got the win, I wonder how much of that was really more bad South Africa than anything else. I mean, they were good. They used the home crowd. It was electric. This feels like 1-0 either way. Both teams to score, no. What was how I landed here. But again, this is one of those I probably won't go into a match with the bet and just kind of see how it plays out, because the quite opposite could be true. I think it might just be kickball, just don't lose a ridiculous goal differential here. Or you could take the other way and say, you know what, both these teams are going to go through. Let's just go out and go for it.
First two games today, though, I think I'm doing what you're doing, which is Portugal. You have win and nil. I'm laying the wood in some fashion with Portugal. Haven't decided quite yet, but that's one way to go. And then England-Croatia, you have the under 2.5 goals and the first half draw. I think I might go full game draw on England-Croatia.
Okay, I can buy that.
Early today. We're sort of simpatico on both of those. All right, to the U.S. Open, sir. Much to be made about the weather. Obviously, weather's weather, so you don't know precisely when the worst of the wind is going to be. But how have you approached this?
My favorite bets in the U.S. Open are the miss-the-cut bets. And I know... shops are kind of getting stingy these days and not posting miscut props on a lot, because they know you can kind of be susceptible to a big number. But you got, 156 players in the field and 60 make the cut. And guys are just going to come out and get on the wrong end of the deal. Or you get a bad lie on one hole and you're shooting triple bogey and you're back at it. What your guess before had, that was a great point about how long these rounds are going to be.
Yes.
And being patient and not blowing a fuse. Like, you look at guys like John Rahm, who played great at the PGA. He is like, I saw a FanDuel yesterday. He was plus 270 to miss the cut. Like, that's a guy I would be interested in taking a flyer on. Russell Henley, who are getting a lot of love this week, I'd take a shot at. Brooks Koepka, obviously with that ulnar nerve injury. Like, how's that going to play the first time you go into the rough? But if the wind holds, it's going to be brutal. The greens play small enough as is, and if you got 30 mile an hour gusts, they're going to make them even more minuscule. Like it's not ridiculously dried out and firm right now where you can't hold, but the wind will dry them out really, really fast.
So who do you like to miss the cut then? Who are your plays?
I'm looking at guys like Rahm, Fleetwood, who is so popular because he played well the last time the tournament was here. I am not a Ludvig Åberg guy. Not there with him. I root against him every tournament because he seems to be a popular guy, and I like seeing him fail. Russell Henley, Brooks Koepka, and Justin Thomas, a guy who can be a little bit erratic off the tee, and if he finds the rough, that could be problematic. For him. So I got those six guys in mind, and based on the knowledge of your previous guests, I think I might throw a Cam Young in there as well to miss the cut.
Okay.
Yeah. Winning. I think I'm looking like that too.
Winning score is what?
Well, it was 277 and a half yesterday. It's now 278 and a half. And I don't know if that's high enough. Like the note out there about the number of subpar finishes in the four U.S. Opens has been, they've been well documented at this point. I think if you ask these players prior to the tournament, like if you could go out and sign up for even par right now, would you take it? And I think they would say yes. So I would still be inclined to go over 278 and a half is maybe minus one wins, even wins. But it's not going to be ridiculously low for sure.
I don't think I heard you mention Scottie Scheffler at any point. Where do you stand on him?
He's probably he's a top 10 type of guy. I don't know if you can take the short price on him. You know how I bet these golf tournaments. So I don't bet a lot of outright wins prior to the tournament. I like playing the miscuts, the matchups, the top 10s, top 20s. Like the only I didn't put the miscut stuff in just yet, but the only bets I have right now are over 277 and a half, which unfortunately is not there anymore. I played a head-to-head with Gary Woodland over Nikolai Højgaard at minus 112. I played Tyrrell Hatton, top 10 in ties, plus 330, plus 155, top 20 in ties. And Sam Burns, top 10 in ties, plus 300, and top 20 in ties, plus 140. Those are the only U.S. Open bets that I have in pocket right now.
The only ones. We just rattle off like 10 of
yeah,
them.
Only those two, four. It's only those six.
You were going to say something? I'm sorry.
No. I don't know what to do with Burns this week. He's maybe the one troubling me the most. I do really like him, but his biggest weapon's the putter, and I don't know if these greens are going to be so tough on everybody. Mm-hmm. I do like he's been one I've been wondering about all week. Well, any thoughts, Chris? Did you think about adding Cameron Smith at all? Miscut, because that's one of the guys who's been real popular this week that
absolutely.
I've been thinking.
Yeah, that's another great one. That is a great one. To add because he had missed a bunch of cuts in majors prior to him playing well last time out. So that was a total shock.
Yes.
The finish he had last event. So yeah, Cam Smith would absolutely be another one. Of course, you know what's going to happen now, right? The one guy who everybody hates and no one has mentioned all week.
Yeah.
Bryson DeChambeau won this event twice. He's going to he'll wind up winning now, right?
Of course.
Yeah, he's been plummeting down the odds board. He's like in the 30s now.
Again, miscut from Chris. John Rahm plus 270, Tommy Fleetwood plus 230, Ludwig Ober plus 210, Russell Henley plus 188, Brooks Koepka plus 166, Justin Thomas plus 152, and there's Burnsy, top 20 including ties, top 10. Tyrrell Hatton, top 20 including ties, top 10. Gary Woodland over Nikolai Højgaard in a head-to-head match, I should say. And over 277 and a half. I'm with you. I don't think that's high enough. Chris, thank you. Appreciate it. Enjoy.
What's this? Giannis to the Celtics.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Football season may still be 3 months away. 3 months. But the best bettors are already preparing for it. Next week, VSiN releases his NFL betting guide packed with everything you need to attack futures, win totals, division races in the upcoming season. Lock in early bird pricing on our football special for just $175. And be among the first to get the guide when it drops next week. The sooner you sign up, the more value you get. With full access to everything we do across every sport through the Super Bowl, that includes daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, and more. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. We get tweet speed in the book. Joe DeFan, who is AKA Bobby Bacala from the Just Win Bets Baby guy. Guys, he says he's giving these bets to you, Kelly, in advance, he says. Korea-Mexico tomorrow, 1-1.
Okay.
Draw first half, Croatia-England. Those two. Okay. All right.
Cool. Welcome in.
I love this tweet from Todd Canarsieborn, 65. Canarsieborn, 65. I'm behind, but after hearing about the guy who hit a four-team soccer parlay laying 1.5 goals on the faves, I need to channel my inner super jerk. Bettors who brag about these hits and their in-game 10-1 need to let us know if that winner got them even. So true, man, on some of these. Montreal Max. Where did Bedosa plus 340 losing the first set 1-6, then coming back to do dominate golf 6-3, 6-2 come from? Elite grass court numbers. She's got them. Not the biggest shocker to me, anyway. Leisure Suit Kobe. I haven't seen that commercial either, but could someone do an edit and put New York State of Mind with the clips of people attacking poor defenseless Spurs fans in the streets and throwing eggs at Wemby's head? That's more accurate. It's such a shame those people tarnished a historic event. Yeah, no, you're right about that part. But let me just tell you about this commercial. So it's pitch perfect, right? Because he got the pent-up energy from winning the championship. He's sprinting across New York City. Then he stops, right, with a sigh, puts his arms over his head, which is just a perfect little detail. Gap tooth smile. Mm-hmm. It's just every little detail is pitch perfect.
It was really well done. I just watched it during the break.
Will Hill joins us now, ladies and gentlemen, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at NotTheWillHill. He is the host of the Shoulda Bet More podcast, coming at you three times a week with guests from to and fro. It's Will Hill, everybody. How you doing, Willie?
Boys, what's going on? Thanks for having me. Good to see you guys.
Will, we were commenting off air. We should probably talk about this on air for a second because it's got us all.
Will's guns?
It's like, you want to do a gun show real quick for everybody, Will?
Oh, come on.
No? Okay.
No. You guys need to focus. We need to focus.
We need to focus.
A lot of games on. We need to focus.
Will Hill apparently is doing curls all show long.
It's just people. He doesn't have to show. People just need to know that every time they see just the bobblehead of Will Hill, man, there are some serious guns lying underneath
this
there.
Kid just gets out there, tries to intimidate us with it. Scan the QR code for more on the Shoulda Bet More podcast if you want to download and subscribe. Latest guest, Will, is...
Megapod superstar Jeff Schwartz joined the podcast. Had the bear on Monday, Jeff Schwartz on Wednesday. I forgot. I keep meaning to re-recruit him for the Megapod. He was, you know, kind of famously on I think once before. Him and Todd, I don't know, kind of went at it, but Jeff's a good guy. I'm trying to clear the air and get him back on the Megapod, if that's okay.
That's great, a
running joke that we kind of need a conclusion to.
Megapod listeners, loyal Megapod listeners, railed against Jeff Schwartz because they didn't appreciate that he was dismissive of Todd. Or not dismissive, but they got into it about a couple
things. I was going to say, like, I remember this, but I don't remember this.
A little beef.
I remember, this is really before I knew Todd or before I knew Jeff. I remember driving where I was listening to it, and it did get a little uncomfortable. I remember one line that sticks out where I think Jeff said, guys, I got to go at some point, where Todd just kept interrupting and going on, and Jeff eventually goes,
That's what it was. Yes. Todd, still kind of to this day, but really in those days, in the early days, Todd, for all, we love Todd, he's great. But one weakness of Todd is he had no sense of when I was trying to wrap things up. So you can tell by someone's voice or what their inflection, what they're about to do. But Todd never got that social cue. So he'd be like, hey, another thing, Jeff, when you were, I was like, and Jeff was like, oh, dear God. So there was that.
Great.
Yeah. All right. Baseball today, sir. What did you end up with?
I will start. I'll start with Cubs and Rockies. I'll go first five team total here with the Cubs. 3.5, you get plus money, though. I have actually seen Rocky starter Sean Sullivan in person a number of times when he was in the minors with the Hartford Yard Goats.
Yeah.
I remember watching him at the time thinking, I can't believe this guy's in Double-A. Forget the major leagues. I was shocked when I saw, I think it was Friday night, that he was on the card. I said, this kid makes the majors. And look, he made the majors. You throw one pitch in the majors, you had a great career. He throws like 86, 87. I don't know. You know, in this day and age, that's a lot of people's breaking balls, changeups. Maybe he throws, you know, so slow with the fastball that it throws people off. And he was pretty effective in three short innings Friday night in a tough place to pitch. But I have a feeling that's going to be hard to duplicate. So I will go Cubbies team total first five over. I think they get to Sullivan here. I don't think Sullivan's going to have a lot of success long-term here in the big leagues. I also am going with another first five team total over. Give me the Red Sox over 2.5. Our other buddy, Max Scherzer here. It's just at some point here, they're going to stop giving him the ball. Great, great pitcher, great career. But I was on with you last Wednesday, and I was like, man, to me, he's just a fade until proven otherwise. Just look at some of the numbers, some of the surface stats. 22 innings, 25 runs allowed. He's allowed 9 homers. He allowed 2 last week, 3 homers in the start before. He just doesn't have it anymore. He's, I think, going to have a hard time pitching in Fenway. So those are the two that really jump out to me. Red Sox team total, first five over, and Cubbies first five team total over. And another one, I'll go back to the well here. Ben Rice to draw a walk, still plus money. It's starting to lower a little bit. It was plus 130 yesterday. Some days it's plus 140, down to plus 115 at DraftKings. If you want the bigger payout, plus 730 to draw two walks. He drew two last night. He's drawn two a couple of these games here recently. I just keep thinking without Judge, they're going to be a little more careful pitching to him, and he's got pretty – pretty patient eye, pretty disciplined to begin with. So Ben Rice at plus money to draw a walk is also one I like.
I don't know if you had a chance to listen yesterday, but if you did, were you upset with me for being dismissive of Ben Rice's MVP candidacy currently?
No. Look, I don't. I've gotten burned on enough of these long shots. I don't expect to get home. I took a shot at 150-1. I'm happy to have that ticket. I understand all the other guys that are viable. I don't expect him to win, but I think he'll be in the mix. Hit another homer, I think, last night, in addition to the two walks. So I think he'll be there in the end. I think he'll have a shot. I think ultimately fall up short. And Alvarez, the rightful favorite here, but we'll see. I do not have my hopes up here, even though I got ahead of the number quite a bit.
And what's this? You have a soccer play today?
Yes. Hey, when in Rome, I've been doing a little research when, I'm going to be on during some of these live bet shows. I want to educate myself and listening to, the Bear and some of these other great soccer content providers. I am going to go Croatia team total under a half a goal at plus money. This will be a really fun sweat for a couple hours to get there.
So much fun. Yeah.
England, I get the verbiage screwed up. Has a good defense, is a good defense, are a good defense. I get screwed up with how you phrase it with the soccer. But England, very good defensively. Croatia seems like, not very explosive offense, a little bit of an older team. So I'm getting plus money, so I will be sitting there glued to the TV rooting for Croatia to not put one in the net.
Okay, here's what I really wanted to talk to you about, because I love sports talk radio rumors and stuff, but I think you're directionally correct here. You think Giannis is going to the Celtics?
I do. I'll give a shout-out to my buddy Mike Manning, who gets pretty good info. I think Boston Mike, too, on Twitter. And I read these texts to Kelly. I had Kelly on a week ago. This is really before anyone else had it. Bill Simmons reported it a couple days later. He told me Giannis to the Celtics, when nobody else was saying this, was very live, very possible. I'm getting the sense that if it's between them and Miami, Jaylen Brown just is a better chip, and I would imagine Milwaukee reroutes Jaylen Brown somewhere else, maybe the Clippers, maybe get the fifth pick. I think it's going to happen. I just think they have more to offer than the Heat. Doesn't sound like that many other teams are into it, so I think this is going to happen. Wouldn't be surprised if it happens here in the next couple of days, so Giannis to the Celtics, minus 120, minus 125 at DraftKings. I do think that's a good bet.
I think so, too. I think it makes all the sense in the world. If you're the Celtics, how many times are you going to run back this Tatum-Brown thing, right? So I think you do that, and I think Brown's comments after the season probably irked him a little bit. I think the Bucks, it's as Kelly has said many times, it's like, are we going to do this already? If we're not, what are we waiting on? Like, let's get it done. You think a third team is involved in this?
I would think so, because Milwaukee doesn't have their picks going forward. Remember, they traded for Drew Holiday and they traded for Lillard. They're kind of starting from scratch, which it's one thing to rebuild. It's another thing to rebuild without your picks. To put Jaylen Brown on that team, that's just, he's a good player, but he's not going to be happy there. Doesn't really make sense for them. They'll probably, I would think, reroute him and try to get, I don't think you're going to get the Godfather offer that you'd hope for, that you'd expect with a player as great as Giannis. But remember, Giannis is in his 30s now. I mean, he was, 2013 draft? Jeez. And they won the title 5 years ago.
Yeah.
They've won one series since. He doesn't shoot well. He's older. He gets hurt a lot. So he's obviously a tremendous player when he's healthy, but you're not going to get, and it's funny, Mikal Bridges goes for five first-rounders. So I think people are probably going to be a little underwhelmed with what Giannis gets back. But if you somehow got the fifth pick from the Clippers, Brown goes to the Clippers, that could make some sense. Then you get some other picks from elsewhere. I guess that's probably the best you're going to do, but I would expect Giannis to go to Boston. I just don't see how Miami makes sense.
I don't either.
You're going to trade everything you can, and what? It's going to be Giannis, Adebayo, and then what? What's the rest of the team look like? I think Giannis to Boston makes the most sense for everybody.
Well, I mean, you still got Ronnie Cicely, I think, and you still got,
Hardaway.
Little Tim Hardaway Jr. Yeah. You still got those guys. No, I think you're right. Giannis to the Celtics, Jaylen elsewhere, picks to the Bucks. Sounds about right. Minus 120, Giannis to the Celtics currently. Thank you, Will. Appreciate it.
See you guys. Thanks.
Will Hill, not welcoming people to the gun show.
Nope.
No one's welcome. Baseball, number one seeds or to make the playoffs or to be a number one and two seed next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's a numbers game live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin.
K-Pasa.
Getting excited? Getting U.S. Open fever?
Yeah, man.
Yeah?
Okay. I am.
This is from Ayaoya S69 on Twitter. Is the comment from the Texas Tech coach, it's not murder for real? Yes, it was. Then the Texas Tech booster throwing out the Penn State scandal? Yes, it was. For once, the NCAA got it right. Yeah, they did. By the way, we're talking about Brendan Sorsby. Yesterday on the show, we read seven of the dumbest quotes during the whole Brendan Sorsby ordeal. Shout out to, was his name Koppelman at the USA Today? USA Today, I want to get his name right.
Yeah, he did a really good job with that.
He did a great job. Either. He did an absolutely great job. No, I was wrong. Blake Topmeyer put together a piece for the USA Today. Eight dumbest quotes he heard during the Brendan Sorsby saga. And yeah, those were all real. All real. And Brendan Sorsby, of course, saying, it doesn't matter, I'm going to take my toys home, go to the NFL supplemental draft. Colin Murphy. No props on Gunnar Henderson today. Get it? Gunnar Henderson today.
Hey.
Mm-hmm. PK Mountain Steeler Den. Could not find any miss the cut market, but did get Cam Young to finish 29th or worse at Bet365. That's interesting. And the numbers guy says, Sherman Douglas was the Heat player you couldn't recall. You're welcome. Sherman Douglas from Spingarn High School, I believe, in D.C., if I'm not mistaken, who then went to Syracuse. Now, serious question regarding Paula Badosa. Obviously, the numbers weren't good enough to bet her preflop. No, they were. I just didn't have the onions to do so. He goes, but if you're paying attention, being down a set, are you apt to bet her to win live? No. No. At that point, I'm saying good conservative stay away by me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not jumping in there either. So, again, by the way, if you bet tennis every day, I am the way that I do it by the numbers, I am filled with regret often, right? Certain matches, like, why didn't I play that? Like, I knew I should have trusted the, you know, yeah, trust the numbers, but you can't play every edge you have.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you pass on some good ones. Good on Paula Badosa for beating Coco as they tune up for Wimbledon, which is just a couple weeks away, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Less than a couple weeks away, 12 days away. We're going to have to get together and do ourselves a little Wimbledon podcast as well.
Jeez, the reaction, text message, I guess tweets too, but text message specifically over the Will Hill Gun Show is nonstop right now. Now I've started an entire workout chain between JVT and Will Hill. Apparently.
Oh, because they have a picture?
Full conversation going. Yeah.
It's ridiculous. He's probably doing curls all day long. Well, the camera only shows so much.
He's got to carry seven kids around. Yeah, it's... Yeah.
75, first of all.
Here's two kids in one arm, two kids in another.
And a dog.
And Charlie.
June most wins update. Marlins and Phillies tied atop June. 10-4, plus 16 for both of them. Total tie right now to the Marlins and Phillies. Well, they play again today. Brewers, Cardinals, Dodgers, 9-5, 9-5, 9-6 right behind them. Look at the Dodgers always lurking.
One of the greatest Marlins-Phillies races I can ever remember.
How about the Marlins? By the way, Cubs, not pictured, 6-8. Yeah, not good. Not good. You're probably like, well, 6-8 is not the worst. No, it's bad. It's bad. They should. This was the part of the schedule they should have crushed on.
Yeah, but they're going to crush today because Will saw that pitcher in AAA.
Yeah, but then they're 7-8 to the hard part of the schedule.
We've talked about this stuff before. I was thinking about this while Will was talking about that. I don't know if there's anything that can be as beneficial and dangerous as seeing a prospect or someone when they're young and then when they make that leap forward, because you think you figured something out. And sometimes you have.
Yes.
Sometimes you haven't at all. So it's I was thinking about that when Will was talking about that today.
These are some interesting markets available in baseball. Good job on Kelly Bidlin's part or Danny Higgins. Who came up with these?
Danny and I were both looking through, and we were going shop to shop. So usually it's a DraftKings shout-out. How about shout-out FanDuel here?
Advocate Skirmish.
Gil, we're going to start you with a number one seed odds, but then we're going to kind of compare it to another market they had posted, which I thought was fascinating. I've never seen before.
So yesterday we went through AL MVP, AL Cy Young, and I had definite bets in both of those. These... interesting to look at. I'm not sure if there's anything sexy to this, but let's go to let's start with the American League number one seed odds to have the best record once again, to finish the regular season with the best record in the American League. The Yankees are these updated odds? Is that what we're seeing right here?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. We had different. Did we hit? Oh no, that's correct. Okay, so the Yankees at -160. Then it's the Rays +390, Mariners +750, and then everybody else double digits. Now, when you look at strength of schedule, when you look at strength of schedule in Major League Baseball this year, and by the way, I always think that June, doing it in June is always too early anyway,
because
it's just so many games. How can you really parse it out? But the American League versus the National League, it's so bad, right? The American League is so bad. Kelly, the Yankees have a plus 122 run differential. Do you know, let me ask you a question, trivia question. How many other teams in the American League have a positive run differential?
Three.
You're looking at the standings.
I'm looking at the standings, sorry.
Okay, do you know what the most is of those three? The Mariners at plus 22.
I thought the Mariners sucked, Gil. That's what I heard for a month and a half.
So the Yankees are plus 122. The Mariners are plus 22.
That is incredible.
Then it's the Rays at plus 6 and the White Sox at plus 2. That's it. So in other words, take the Yankees out and the best team in the American League is a plus 22 and the only other two, there's only other two with positives and there's single digits.
Wow. Good stuff.
That's it. Well, so the point is when you talk about number one seeds, the Yankees may not have this colossal lead yet, but they should, and I believe they will when all is said and done. Yankees minus 160. I think that represents value to me, the Yankees at minus 160. And if you do the strength of schedule thing, what you will find, because the American League is their own little ecosystem of suckitude, that all of the remaining, you know, schedules are like top 10 easiest because they're all playing each other. So they're doing it by current win total, by win-loss records, right? So like the Guardians have the easiest, the Athletics have the second easiest, the White Sox have the third easiest, the Mariners have the fourth easiest, the Rays have the sixth easiest, and the Yankees have the 11th easiest. So there's not even enough to parse out on that. The Yankees are the only play for me.
Okay, so glad you brought this up, because the other market we wanted to compare to, this is the conversation that Danny and I got started on basically yesterday, was the AL East. And the other market that FanDuel has up is for team to secure a bye, right? So one of the top two seats.
One of the top two seats.
And I liked where you said, if it minus 160, you think there'd be some value on it. I know this is real chalky, but minus 250 for the Yankees to have a bye, because I'm looking at the standings, Gil, right? And it's Rays 2.5 back, same division, right? One of them's going to have one of those, and then the other team's the 5 seed. And then you're talking about it's the White Sox and Guardians 6 back.
I'm just saying, if you looked at the standings, you'd be like, oh, the Yankees are only a few games up. But the point is that run differential really signifies how much better they are than everybody else.
Right.
To earn a first-round bye, which Kelly said, again, first and second seed. Remember, the format in the MLB playoffs is you have 3 division winners, you have 3 wild cards, but the worst of the division winners has to play in the wild card round. So only the top 2 seeds get through. So team to earn first round bye market, the Yankees are huge at minus 250. The question is, who else do you bet? Or is there another bet to secure a first round bye here? Let's say the Yankees are one of them. What's the value? And your instinct here would be, well, you probably should take a long shot, right? The Athletics are right at, you know, the cusp of you know, the top of the, you know, right behind the Mariners in the AL West. Would you take them at 12-1? Would you take the Rangers at 5-1? You know, the Rays can't be that team if the Yankees are, right? So you would have to throw them out if you're a Yankees person. Or what about a AL Central team? And I want to take a long shot. Your instinct is to take a long shot. But honestly, if you're asking me who I really think is the other team that gets a bye, it's the Mariners. After all their mediocrity this year, they're probably the second best team in the AL.
Yeah.
When all is said and done. I think. I could be wrong, but if you're saying what's the bet to make, I don't know. Like, to me, I like the Rangers over season win total preflop. Would I love a 5-1 bet on the Rangers to get a first round bye? Not really. Like, I trust the Mariners a little more. I love the Athletics going into the season as an over season win total, but do I think they end up with a first round bye? Is 12-1 enough for me to do that? Yeah, probably not.
I'm going to shop this today. Yeah, I want to see if other books have this. I'm laying 250 with the Yankees. I haven't made a dumb Yankees futures bet yet, Gil.
I support that bet entirely.
I mean, they are 6 games up
on
a team to pass them. And keep in mind, not one team has to pass them for you to lose this. 2 teams have to pass them.
Will asked me a couple weeks ago on Should Have Bet More podcast. At the end of the podcast, he was like, just give me your best MLB bet period. And I immediately said, at that time, Yankees minus 190 to win that division. Mm-hmm. That's which is no longer there. But mm-hmm. at that time, I should have bet more. I said that. I support exactly that with these bets with the Yankees.
And the opposite, real quick, is Danny and I did get talking this. If you want to bet the Rays, make sure you're shopping these different markets compare.
We'll do the National League later.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, Paul Spohr and Kelly and I get a chance to do our Splash Sports World Cup Survivor entry. Let's do that. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.